He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to today's Thursday live edition of the Best Stocks Now. Looks like Best Inverse Funds now are taking command here. Right now, this is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. 23 years behind the mic, 23 years of looking at thousands of charts every single day. My eyes spin like a slot machine sometimes, you know, the wheels coming around looking at all those charts, but it sure is helpful. Well, you know, the futures were all over the place last night. Market opened positive, but then, got the Dow down 182, 30,092. Oh, and I'm here with Barry Kite, our CFA. We've got some economic reports to talk about here today. Jobless claims for one. NASDAQ down 50 right now, 11,098. It was up 50 just a minute ago. What happened? S&P 500 down 22. That's 0.6%, 3,760. Crude oil up 22 cents, 87.98. A lot of news surrounding crude oil today. Gold is flat at 1720. That tells me that the dollar has probably started going back up again. Silver's up 11 cents. The 10-year, well, we predicted it. It's going to go right back up. It got down to like 3.6. Now it's at 3.8. And lastly, last but not least, Bitcoin up 224 to 20,000. All right, welcome to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide virtual money management firm. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our resident chartered financial analyst, certified financial planner who talks to folks all day long from people all over the country. From the North Pole all the way down to Miami, Sarasota,
and
of course a lot of folks in Michigan and Minnesota and San Francisco,
Hawaii,
all the areas where we have been or currently at with the Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I didn't really have to say Best Inverse Funds for about 12 years. That was nice.
Right, yeah.
Things have changed. Things have changed. The market is cyclical. The bond market ended a 40-year run, okay, this year. That's pretty pretty big. That's a big change. 40 years of interest rates going down. We turned a corner a little over a year ago. And now we have interest rates going up, which is probably one of the biggest factors in the market today, along with inflation and a strong dollar. Well, we started off to the upside. We have turned negative. It seems like the continuation of rallies being sold. Remember that. Write that on your refrigerator.
In intraday, I mean, intraday volatility. Yesterday was, you know, market was all over the place. And this morning, of course, you know, futures were down to begin with. I think at the open, you know, it opened a bit positive, and now we're back,
yes,
back on the negative side. So
in a bull market like we had, you know, for 12 years, you have dips being bought. In a bear market, you have rallies being sold. So every rally you see, look at the fierce rally we had on Monday and Tuesday to the upside. And I said, you know, I think we're just going to go right back to rising interest rates again and a strong dollar, and you're going to see this rally, you know, the points being taken off the board and back to a downtrend. And I don't know, that hasn't happened yet, but we're starting to dip here today. Okay, so yesterday was kind of all over the place, but there was a lot of big news yesterday. We did have a third day of gains in the S&P 500, but the S&P actually finished down yesterday. It was down 8 points. So we couldn't get a third day of gains. We got two huge days, and now here we are backing off again. One of the big news items from yesterday, OPEC Plus. They are cutting 2 million barrels per day, and that has a big impact across the board in a lot of areas of the market. We had the sudden U-turn by Elon Musk with Twitter. I guess that was Tuesday. And other forces in the market yesterday. Now, here's one thing that bothers me today. I made this our top story of the day. Job cuts jump 68% year over year. This is the September Challenger job cut report. That's a big jump, 68% year over year, Barry. This makes the fifth time this year that the cuts were higher than in 22 than in the same month a year ago. Do you think that we're finally starting to see this hit the jobs market?
Well, I think, you know, that's kind of what that's what the Fed's going to want to see, I think, before they're stopping, and I think or slowing, even, you know, you don't even have to stop, just slowing the pace. But we've heard, you know, we keep hearing the word, you know, data dependent Fed. You know, the only thing here is, of course, you know, jobless claims came in today at 219,000. That's, like you said, you know, 29,000 more than the last reading. They thought we were going to come in at 203. So coming in above expectations, of course, you know, I think there's a lot of, a lot more softness that would need to occur. Of course, we'll, you know, keep an eye on the job numbers. But the fact is you've got, you know, roughly 10, you know, more than 10 million job openings. We've got, even around town here, right, still you've got
a lot of job openings.
A lot of job openings with no one to fill them.
Nope.
So it seems it would be something that's going to take a little while, right, to work through. We have beginning to see more, hiring freezes from companies, as I think we talked about yesterday. But you haven't seen, you know, those large amounts of cuts where, you know, you get, you think of other recessions where you get like a manufacturing company, right, announcing, you know, 30,000 in layoffs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We haven't
no.
seen those types of.
Well, you know, like I say, I talked to one of the strategists from ProFunds, and he says, you know, until we start getting layoffs, it's going to be hard to get inflation under control. So this is actually bad news that is probably good news, because it moves us closer to the so-called pivot that is so elusive. So some cracks are beginning to appear in the labor market. Hiring is slowing, and downsizing events are beginning to occur, said Andrew Challenger. Retailers led the job cut plans. Well, you know what? With inflation, the consumer only has so much to spend, and with more going towards, with inflation, you can buy less because your dollar buys less. So that's where the biggest cut is in the retail arena. Biden disappointed by OPEC plus output. He hints at, what do you think it is? Is he going to open up the regulations to drill in America?
No, we're gonna take more from the whatever we have left from the strategic reserve.
Just right. Brilliant. Okay, President Biden disappointed by the short-sighted decision by OPEC. Well, you know what? He's not exactly getting along with OPEC.
Well, you know what short-sighted is with the announcement you're about to talk about.
Taking
oil from the reserve.
Yes, taking oil from the reserves and allowing drilling and oil production in Venezuela. Doesn't that do the same thing to the planet that drilling in Texas would do, or drilling in Louisiana would do? It's still putting the same amount. It's just coming from Venezuela instead of us. And of course, Biden has a bone to pick with Saudi Arabia. You know, he's with most of the world, the rest of the world, you know, with the killing of that reporter for Washington, the Washington Post. And so him and Saudi Arabia not getting along well at all. And, of course, Saudi Arabia is going to work against him. And with the November elections coming up, a month, you're going to see all kinds of gyrations, that, like I said, seesaw battle going back and forth. And OPEC, their best hand that they have to play is to cut production. And they didn't do it by 1 million barrels. They did it by 2 million barrels per day. So the only, so Biden's solution to that is to release more oil from the strategic reserves and to turn to Venezuela, which they're not very good people down there. The leadership is not very good and trustworthy. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show with the Best Inverse Funds leading the day today. The Dow down 226 right now, S&P down 28, and the NASDAQ down 75 now. I had a guy on Twitter yesterday that took me on. He says, you're on the wrong side of the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ looks really good right now. Hey, you know what, everybody, I respect everybody's opinions, but you're not going to change my mind. It's a terrible chart, the whole NASDAQ, the Dow. They're in downtrend. I printed it on Friday in my newsletter, 7 different charts. I said, every picture tells a story. Here's the pictures. You decide for yourself. U.S. to ease Venezuela sanctions, allowing Chevron to pump oil. Okay, you know, it's like those are the solutions to it's release oil from the reserves and go to Venezuela. Let's see here. Oh, this, you know what? Here is an ETF. Maybe they'll make one against me. Jim Cramer. Want to bet against Jim Cramer? Or maybe you love his picks. These ETFs may soon be available. Our friends at Tuttle Capital Management, you know, I like them. They're the ones that came up with SARK.
SARK, right, yeah. They
we made some money in SARK. They haven't sent me a T-shirt yet.
They did give us a message. They did, didn't they? Because when we mentioned it in the article the first time, SARK, didn't they? I thought they sent us an email.
Mr. Tuttle himself sent me an email. Thank you for buying our fund. And I should have asked for a T-shirt then. I'm sure, I don't know if it's a picture of like an ark sinking, going down, you know, but I could definitely design a nice shirt for them. Well, now he's got Jim Cramer, who in a strange way looks like Vladimir Lenin. You know, that guy always scares me, Cramer. I don't think, you know, look, Cramer is a entertainer. He's paid to keep people around watching. He has to be controversial. He has to be bold. He has to be opinionated. Is he a good stock picker? It's all about ratings.
I mean, it really is.
I'm not here to get ratings. I'm just here to educate, tell the truth, and try to help folks. Okay, you got the inverse Cramer ETF, or you've got the long Cramer, LJIM. Which would be, I guess, Long Jim Cramer. Long Jim. Okay. And the other one is, that would be Slim, right? No, SJIM. SJIM. Short Jim. Short Jim or Long Jim. There's a couple of ETFs. I'll put them in the You know, it'd be interesting
to
see.
How do they construct it? I wonder how they construct it. I'd be curious.
Somebody's got to listen to his show every day. I don't know. He does have a trading service.
Right. I guess maybe that's what I was trying to figure out how they put the index together, right? Based on what he talks about or based
yeah.
on, it's got to be based
actual
on those
trades.
You would think it would have
yeah.
to be based off of that.
Okay. Yesterday, a lot of people wondered, you know, the solar stocks got whacked yesterday, and it was because of a short seller by the name of Muddy Waters. Yes, there was also a good blues man that influenced a lot of the folk singers named Muddy Waters, but Muddy Waters is also a short-selling firm, and they came out with a report against Sunrun and Hannon Armstrong. That's Carson Block, the head of Muddy Waters. And that took the whole solar stock industry down sector. Enphase was down. SunPower was down. First Solar was down. Sedge, which is Solar Edge. We lost our Enphase yesterday, but we had a 25% gain in it. So, you know, up at one time I think we were up about 40% on it. But, you know, I put in a protective stop just because in a nervous market and in a market where you are downtrending in a bear, I tend to use stops in a bear market. You know, in a bull, you'll get caught stopped out of a lot of stocks, and then they'll go on to hit new highs, and you'll kick yourself. And in a downtrending market, I think stops come in pretty handy. Gold, silver turn lower as dollar treasury yields bounce. Well, that's why you had the big move in the market on Monday and Tuesday, mainly because we saw a big drop in interest rates and a big drop in the U.S. dollar. But was it a temporary drop? That's my opinion. Well, it turned around yesterday, started going back up again, and the short-lived rally in gold and silver tarnished very quickly. September PMI composite at 49.5. Well, anything under 50 is contraction, so just slightly. Financial sector performs worst. And then we have the September ISM services PMI index, or just the ISM services, I guess, comes in stronger, 56.7. So there's still a little bit of growth in the service manufacturing index, which is not good because that keeps the Fed on their hawkish mission. Jobless claims. Okay, this is good news, which is bad news for the market because jobless claims came in 219,000. They were expecting more than that. So, you know, while there may be some, you know, a few little nicks here and there in the jobs market, it didn't show up in the jobless claims. Veritas Financial says talk of a Fed pivot is overblown. Investors should sell the bounce. That's what I said. I'm in that camp. That's the camp I'm in. And so far, that bounce on Monday and Tuesday is faltering. Veritas financial analyst Greg Branch said that the rising hope among market participants that the Federal Reserve will ease off its program to raise interest rates is likely premature. Well, they've been consistent, you know, in their rhetoric. I haven't heard them back off at all. But you know what? It's like we said, everybody, it's a game of chicken. You know, they want to get ahead of the Fed and be there when they actually do pivot. So really, I mean, you're gambling at that point, trying to guess at what the Fed will do. Let's see. What else do I got? We got a lot here still. We're going to have a lot of catching up to do. Tesla and EV battery stocks slide with new wild cards in the mix. On Tuesday, the Biden administration declared that batteries from China may be tainted by child labor. Oh, man. Now what? I mean, that's just like, what is China doing now? Of note, the Department of Labor said it would add lithium ion batteries to a list of goods made with materials known to be produced with child or forced labor. So think about that when you're driving your EV. Some little six-year-old, you know, maybe in China. was the one making that thing. So anyways, that's going to, and you know what, that sent a lot of the lithium. The lithium stocks have been very strong recently, but the battery charging stocks and the EV stocks just got hammered yesterday. Many of them are hitting new 52-week lows. We'll be right back. Welcome back to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Dow down 277 right now. Bitcoin down 205. It's under 20,000 again at 19,900. S&P down 36 now, really going south, down 1%. And the NASDAQ down almost 100. Well, we continue to own inverse funds against the Dow, the NASDAQ, and the S&P 500. Okay, back to that story on child labor. The child labor is actually in the Republic of Congo, Barry, where children have been found to work at some mining sites. China gets its cobalt for those electric batteries from the Democratic Republic of Congo. So they're tainted. The batteries are tainted. Okay, how's Twitter doing? You know, they're obviously a lot of certainty that he's going to go through with it this time, because
this is the closest it's traded.
This, I mean, is, the,
this
closest.
Is the closest it's traded to the 54.20 price. So.
Yes, and you know, will it get done quickly? Will there be any roadblocks thrown in his way? I'll tell you, there's been a heck of a lot of roadblocks thrown in the way of the Trump DWAC, the Truth Network. I see that it's finally on the Samsung phones, which are Android-driven, but they're still waiting.
I guess that means it's in the Google Play Store.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know.
To get it, I mean, I figured you'd have to have it to get it on the phone. Yeah, I'm only an Apple person in terms of when it comes to the phone, so I'm kind of I'm really shooting in the dark when it comes to the Google Play Store. But
yes, and I'm going gangbusters to get my app. You know, Google are probably the hardest people ever to work. I get an email from them every other day. We're updating our policy, and you got to sign this, you got to sign that, and if you don't sign it, they take you out of the store. They're just horrible to work with. And but I've got a guy on it. He'll get it back up in the store ASAP. Okay, so yesterday, the EV stocks just got absolutely clobbered. We don't own any, okay? XPeng, which has just been clobbered. Those Chinese, you know, that's the problem with what's the one that watch? What's the one that TipRanks? TipRanks.com. They don't count our sales. Okay, so we're still on the hook for XPeng, even though we sold it a long time ago. That affects your ratings, you know, and your ranking in TipRanks. We sold Li Auto a long time ago. We sold Boyd a long time ago. But all of these stocks were hitting 52-week lows. Workhorse, Polestar, Canoe, Lordstown, XPeng, Mullen Automotive, Arrival, RC Moto, Neo, Lee, Lucid, Fisker. That sounds like an ETF right there. There's enough ones.
You just created one. Yeah,
I've wanted to make iCar. Right. iCar is my ETF, the car revolution. Now, this is kind of, let's see, Exxon. How is Exxon doing today? Because they had something to say today. Oh, boy. Exxon among the top S&P 500 gainers. They guided higher. Well, we all know that stocks trade on future expectations. And when future expectations go up, the stock follows. Exxon is one of the strongest large cap stocks. It's a half a trillion dollar company. Maybe it'll be the next trillion dollar company. I don't know. Exxon is breaking out today. Looks pretty strong. Relative strength of 97. Let's just see where it's ranked in the best stocks now. App.com, number 55. You see how that just tells me the app is working, okay? Because I looked at it, I said, that's one of the best. I've had Exxon on my list, but, you know, I've gone just a little bit below Exxon into the second tier of those big oil stocks. Exxon is up 62% this year. How many S&P 500 stocks can you say that about? Not many.
Not many at all.
No, and it was up 48% last year, and they just guided higher for this quarter that they'll be reporting soon.
And a 3.5% forward yield too. So we still you've got the possibility for, you know, some dividend at the same time.
Yes. And, you know, the one that guided lower today was Shell, which we don't own. I can't remember what Shell's issue was, but they had some kind of an issue guiding lower. They were citing all kinds of things, inflation. It's never management that they blame. It's always some outside thing that they blame. Well, Exxon's not having any problems. Why are you having problems? Of course, Shell is a Netherlands-based company. It's about half the size. I mean, it's still a sizable company. It's about half the size of ExxonMobil, but they actually guided lower, and Shell is down 4.4% today. Total Energies is going to keep shipping Russian LNG. They also say that a price cap on Russian oil is a bad idea. Well, TTE is out of France. And, you know, these are some of the most hated companies in Europe. TTE is, even though people love to turn their lights on, people love to heat their home, right? People love to get around town in their car, but they hate the companies that provide that that luxury. Total Energies is going to keep shipping Russian LNG. Well, they have to ship it. There is not a sanction on LNG. Okay, I did not know that. There's not a sanction. They can get LNG, but, of course, the pipeline is down, and I don't think it's going to be repaired. We still don't know who did it, who done it, but they're selling barrels of oil at a steep discount, and they're still shipping liquid natural gas to Europe. Okay, Wall Street welcomes the Bitwise Web3 ETF. Okay, well, you know what? The next wave of Web3 innovation, World Wide Web, it's grounded in blockchain technology. I think I'll pass. I want to see it trade for a little while to see what it's all about. Okay, well, you know, the earnings season, I'll be writing the newsletter. I start today. Thursdays are my busiest day of if I'm going to make any buys. Thursdays, I usually kind of, you know, sift the wheat from the chaff, you know, Monday through Wednesday. I got a really good list. There's maybe 10 on it today. I'm going to maybe doing a little buying. Of course, every time I buy or sell in any of the five portfolios that I manage, I send out a live alert. I just bought this in this particular portfolio, and here's the size of the position in said portfolio, and here's the price I paid. And, of course, anytime I sell something, yesterday before the show, I said we just sold our end phase. I actually had a sell stop in that triggered, and it did trigger at a pretty good price considering where end phase closed yesterday. I had a stop in at 269.35. That's where we sold it, and it continued to plunge after that. Right now it's at 257, so it's 12 points lower from where that stop was in. Protective stop, which I do amp up the use of sell stops in a downtrending market, because you don't want a stock that's maybe down 10, 8, 7 in your portfolio to all of a sudden be down 25 or 30, which can happen. I've got caught on a few this year, and I regret it. But anyways, I'll be updating the earnings picture. We have had a couple of companies report this week, Constellation Energy, or Constellation Brands for one, which is the biggest alcoholic beverage company, one of the biggest in the world. Next week, we're going to start getting earnings from the banks, the big banks. So really and truly, earnings season begins next week. I will have the latest forecast for the earnings season. I'll have the latest forecast for next year's earnings estimates. I'll just give you a hint. They've been going down lately, which is the first time in 12 years that we've seen downwards guidance coming in, and it's starting to hit the S&P 500 overall. And I would also say the 2024 earnings expectations have come down quite a bit from the original numbers that started coming out about 2 months ago. And I'll have a lot of charts in the newsletter this weekend. It'll go out Saturday as early as I can get it done. Go to GundersonCapital.com for 2 free weeks of the newsletter. Now let's see what's popping in the market here today. I got a hunch that some inverse funds are looking pretty good. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. The market's improved a little bit. The Dow's down 144. The Nasdaq's now only down 33. It was down 100 just a minute ago. It's a seesaw battle right now. You do have interest rates up 7 basis points today, which is bearish for the bond market, bearish for stocks. The big rally on Monday and Tuesday was mostly brought to you by a big drop, sudden drop in interest rates, and a sudden drop in the dollar. AMD up 71 cents. Crude oil's up a dollar right now. And here's some stocks. It's very weak day. There's virtually not any leadership whatsoever. I mean, not in the inverse funds and not really in the in any stocks, but I did get about 10 here that are doing okay. Most of them are from the inverse fund side of the ledger. DRV, which we mentioned yesterday. DRV is one of the best performers in the market today overall from a percentage point of view. It's up 5.4%. 4 times normal volume, a lot of volume going into this ETF. It is inverse real estate 3 times. Well, you know, I mean, interest rates and real estate are about, you know, the biggest connection you have with rising interest rates is the real estate sector. Yeah, and it's not good. Okay, so real estate has been hit recently. And DRV, which is a direction fund, I don't like the 3X myself. That's a 3X inverse. I think SRS is 2 times. Yes,
yeah,
twice.
In parts of the real estate market, or I mean, certainly, you know, we think of residential, but you know, you take into account, you know, I've heard a lot of stories about, you know, office buildings, right, in New York City, essentially sitting, you know, pretty much idle or in virtually ghost towns in terms of, you know, things getting, you know, that market's not going back to normal after
never.
COVID with work for home. So there's some, you know, there's certainly some spots of the real estate market that are, you know, that are under some real pressure going forward, you know, almost regardless of what rates do.
The strength is in the apartments. Rental.
Correct.
Apartments.
Yep.
Which when people can't afford to buy a home, they got to rent an apartment. okay.
And there's a shortage of housing out there, period. So the one place where you can kind of ramp up supply a lot of times is in that apartment space, because it's quicker to get a certain amount of volume up than just single family housing.
Yes. Okay. Now, the other inverse fund that's one of the better performers today is that inverse 2x Europe. It is up 3.1%. We do own that ETF as a hedge. It's traded 2x normal volume today. More people moving towards that. I have seen the size of these ETFs grow quite a bit recently. EPV was always very thinly traded. It's only got $168 million in it. But, I can remember when it had way less than that, like under $20 million. So it has grown significantly. And it's up 3.1% on a relative strength basis. Okay, we look at all the stocks and ETFs and mutual funds in the market. This is the Investor's Business Daily metric. On a scale of 1 to 99, EPV has a relative strength of 97. That just is a sign of the times. It's been a long time since the inverse funds have been at the top of the heap. And the app will show you the same thing. The app has sector searches or asset class searches or index searches. And in the sector searches, there is one category called inverse funds. And you can click on that. It will show you the best inverse funds now. And then there's another one that I broke apart. It's called leveraged inverse funds. I separate those, and you can see which of the leverage. That's where EPV would be. And it lists them in order of ranking. Okay. And then I put a couple of inverse funds in the overall asset class rankings. The number one asset class out of 33 different asset classes right now is inverse the S&P 500. There's a tale of the tape there. Okay, now some shipping companies. We just read that it's okay to ship liquid natural gas from Russia, which seems a little weird to me. You know, they're going to shut off the pipeline. We're going to boycott Russian oil on Europe's side, and yet they're still shipping. Total Energy is still bringing in liquid natural gas from Russia.
I can't keep up with what's allowed to come, what's not allowed to come. It seems. I don't know. I feel like it changes day.
It seems like, though, that this has always been allowed to come. I didn't know that. Okay, so you've got Frontline up today. FRO is up 3.8%. You've got probably the best of the class of the shippers for me is Euronav, which is EURN. These are all trading, and these all have relative strength of 97. So these aren't short plays, inverse. These are on the long side of the market. And these all ship oil. These aren't the dry bulk shipping wheat and corn and soybeans. These ship oil. Euronav is up 2.7. And then one other one. I never like to buy a stock with the symbol tank. You know, because, usually when a stock tanks, that's not real. This is TNK, tank, TK Tankers. It has a relative strength of 99. I would probably, this is the strongest of the shipping stocks, in my opinion, with that relative strength of 99. Now, I do have a sector. The shipping stocks show up in the transportation sector in the app. Or maybe there's a few over in the energy sector. We're out of time. There's the music. Get 2 free weeks of the newsletter. It'll be a humdinger this week. GundersonCapital.com. Or if you're looking for fee-based fiduciary management from an active manager, give us a call, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.